Welcome to Walking as Research, a conversation on walking as artistic research practice. Walking as both the means and the object of research, and of not knowing.
Legs. For those with the ability, legs support the body's weight. Most of the time, while walking or sitting, they touch the ground. With our feet, we sense the margins of our bodies, our weight, and the possibilities and the limitations of our movement. We sense our bodily situatedness within the world. Legs remind us that we cannot really take matters into our hands entirely. Legs down below our torsos are existential limbs. Their movement echoes bare presence. They are our gravity sensing organs, always active in carrying our weight while sensing the ground. Legs fulfill our desire to move, enable us to be in active physical relation with everything beyond the limits of skin. Their movement unconsciously influences our beings as much as we consciously control them. When mediating on this thingness of legs, it is difficult to imagine the Cartesian division between the body and the mind, movement and thought.
Thank you. So I really like this this notion of legs as sensing agents or as actors in relation to many other agents, actually, such as skin or movement or ground or the world at large. And I also like the first sentence of this paragraph, which reads, "For those with the ability, legs support the body's weight." The word ability, and I'm sure we're going to talk about it later as well, is quite important in also the accessibility of walking. I also had to think of Deleuze and Guattari. They would say the artwork is a block of sensations waiting to be reactivated by a spectator or a participant, a passerby, a walking body, whoever or however you would call these positions. And actually, the walk reactivates this block of sensations of which the legs are a part. And I feel that this block, in the Deleuzian sense, is fragmented, but also connects all the different elements of this artwork or of the walk.
So, I guess I should just move on to steps.
Yeah, let's do so.
Yeah. Okay. So this is here another fragment of writing that it's maybe. Yes, that is meditating on steps. So when we move our legs, they spatially dislocate our entire bodies. Steps set our bodies into motion. A short moment of almost weightless floating in midair, followed by a fall towards the ground with the force of our weight multiplied by gravitational acceleration, and the final hitting the ground, only to rise again towards the next weightless moment. We undergo this cycle with every step. This movement shakes our entire bodies, organs, bones, and fluids, conditioning our fundamental corporal existence and mental state, and in turn influencing our perception and sense of ourselves and our surroundings. Steps are semi-automatic actions that have an enormous impact on subjectivity and perception. They embody an intrinsic connection between movement, sensation, and experience. How we move is integral to thought, perception, sense, and making sense of ourselves, surroundings, and the other. From an external perspective, steps are physical force that hits the ground, possibly leaving traces and radiating vibrations downwards into the ground as weak shock waves, and upwards into the air as sound, while the vibrations in the ground remain largely imperceptible to us. We hear the steps echoing through the air. They signal presence, contributing to the ambience of a place. Attitude, age, agency, gender, weight, and fashion can to some degree be evoked in their echo. The step as a contact point between the body and ground is a probing gesture. Sensing the firmness of the ground, revealing acoustic properties of the space, and giving us feedback regarding our own physical and mental conditions. One step at a time, we reach the ground we walk on.
Yeah, so you just read to us that steps leave traces, and they cause vibrations, and they echo. It's quite funny because we as speakers with a microphone, we hear our own voice, so we hear an echo, which is a little bit disturbing every now and then, but it adds to the experience. So the final sentence of this paragraph read, one step at a time, we read the ground we walk on. And that made me think of the relation between walking and reading, but also between walking and listening. And when we talk about walking and reading, we can maybe think of reading our bodies or reading the ground, reading our surroundings. And in this case, literally reading a text out loud and listening to each other. And then there is another element that both occupies us in a way, that's the really the relation between walking and writing. And I recently wrote a text in which I refer to the relationship between walking and writing. And I quote, "To me, writing and walking are both means to resituate in many ways. When we walk or write, we navigate through different actual and imagined sites. We feel, we think over, we generate meandering lines of thought. Resituating provides room for alternative sensations and perspectives. Walking, as well as writing, are methods of inquiry and learning through embodiment, language, and the senses. Walking and writing can be performed and experienced either collectively or by oneself. Both practices have a poetic, artistic, critical, and activist potential. They could be a form of care for some, or a means to voice protest for others." End of quote.
Yeah.
Shall we exchange the chalks?
Yes, so we come to the part where we consider the ground as something, as an element of that contributes or that is playing or activated or in the walk steps, so an element. And we're gonna use it to write something about the ground.
Yeah.
Right.
And look at that tree there.
Wow.
It's magnificent. Fantastic.
Yeah. Okay. So I do every 1, 3, 5, 7.
Fine, yeah.
Okay.
I think I need a new piece of chalk.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a tough ground.
Yeah, I'll take two. Yeah, my fingers are super cold as well, so it's a bit hard to write, but let's see. Does someone else want to write one? Maybe? Can I? Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, hand gloves. That's very smart. This
grant is condition.
The one below. Yeah.
Grant is possibility.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, ground is surface, ground is point of contact, ground as territory, ground as margin of visibility, ground as condition, ground as possibility, ground as resistance, ground as limitation. Ground as stage, ground as vibrant matter, open ground, ground as medium, ground as construction, around this membrane. While walking, we constantly hit the ground with our feet, sending weak shockwaves down through solid matter. Inaudible to the naked ear, these shockwaves vibrate the earth, exciting molecules in stone and asphalt, or resonate in built chambers, parking lots, or canalization tunnels below the surface. The ground absorbs our steps and echoes our presence in the solid subterranean acoustics. Always in touch, or only a step away, this space remains inaudible, invisible, and inaccessible to us.
Shall we walk on?
Yes.
That way.
Yeah.
What I liked about the paragraph on ground is that you mentioned the shock waves that vibrate the earth, that excite the molecules in stone and asphalt. That means that we are relating to matter that is non-human, but that is part of our surroundings all the more. After studying walking for quite a few years, I felt the urgency more and more to refer to the critical potential of walking. So beyond the theory of the contemplating figure, of the flaneur, or the leisurely stroll, I think we can say that the ground is not neutral. And our bodies aren't either. So the ground and our bodies exist in all their differences. And the same holds true for the senses. Let's say touch, vision, or smell. And actually a while ago, I came across a publication. It's called Walking Methodologies in a More Than Human World. And it's about Walking Lab, a research group that is led by Stephanie Springe and Sarah E. Truman. And what they do is queer walking and also walking research. And they describe it as a practice of thinking of new concepts for walking methodologies that are accountable to an ethics and politics of the more than human. So they basically try to think beyond subject identification, and their practice is relational, and they try to destabilize notions of space, place, time, and subjectivity, and they try to think outside a normative temporality. So that means that they research histories and futures that are lived and sensed, and they question the very ground of identity and theory itself in a multitude of directions. And they see the walking as a potential, let's say the potentiality of walking in unsettling. So it's a qualitative research methodology that unsettles bodies or subjectivities, but also land. So let's say indigenous land or settler colonization. And they initiate and research events that examine walking in relation to, and then I quote, settler colonialism, effective labor, trans species, participation, racial geographies, counter cartographies, youth literacy, environmental education, and collaborative writing. So writing is also part of what they do as a research group. And basically this research involves performative walks, and artistic methods with various groups and individuals, and it puts an emphasis on presence, deep relations, embodiment, sensorial experience, and the everyday.
Yeah, I think walking as an activity and research practice offers a particular way of addressing all these questions that act as agents for resituating and unsettling bodies, identities, theories, territories, and also political and social orders. I think of the reasons why this is so is because walking itself is an activity of perpetual physical displacement. So constant motion, constant displacement. And to persist in this activity while also traversing particular mental, political, and theoretical fields and territories, this bodily activity of perpetual displacement has a potential to leap into the cerebral domain that is being discussed or thought with. Considering social and transformative agencies of walking together in terms of identity, protest, and territory, say, walking has strong connective and cohesive power. The strength is not based solely on a common or consolidated representational projections and identity manifestations, but to a great extent originates from the shared lived experience of walking together. So something that we do now, pacing and navigating through landscapes and territories together, is a shared experience that inscribes walking bodies and binds them into a larger temporary body. Within this common body, differences can be articulated, challenged, explored, and negotiated. As if walking together works in two opposite directions simultaneously. On the one hand, it bypasses differences and identities through loose synchronization and through shared experience, while on the other hand, each step announces and asserts the presence of every singular individual. A step as a moment of a reset, perhaps, one could think.
Yeah, moment of reset, that's a nice thought. It's interesting also to think about it after this walk. Because I think it works on a corporeal level, this moment of reset, but also on a social and political level. As you just described, that walking is a moment of being together with all our differences when we walk collectively. But it's also a moment to temporarily form a body together. And in a way also to, when we walk collectively, to disrupt the everyday walking that we do on a level of almost something that comes as it is because we're so used to it and because we are able to do it as well. So if anyone is interested, that's also what I wanted to say, in looking through this publication by Walking Lab. I have it in my bag, so feel free to come up afterwards. And I give it to you and you can have a look. So I think there's one more paragraph left from your writing, Tao,
right,
that we might want to read. And I also think we have to turn around because this is the end of the track, right?
Is it?
We can maybe walk the
Alright, yeah. How
you
going?
Is it not too narrow, the path up there? Shall we try? Yeah. I don't know where we end up then, but it should be fine.
You didn't make a trek.
No.
It's different, it's the part you never go to.
Okay, let's have a look.
Alright, so will it be about everyday walking or
yeah
okay so this one is about everyday walking, taking one step after another along an invisible itinerary negotiated between our will to get from here to there, our physical ability to move, and external conditions. We walk, we stroll, we hurry, we drift, we hike, we follow, we protest, we run away, or we walk towards. Depending on the physical and social conditions of the space, we adjust the way we walk and to which itinerary we follow. In this sense, walking is a liminal activity, shaped by the walker as much as it is conditioned by the space in which it takes place. Walking never belongs to us entirely. The way we move through space and the itinerary we choose defines how we perceive that space, and conversely, while moving from one point to another, we bring the space we traverse into presence, infusing it with our vitality and attention. According to our itineraries, we generate various intensities of the spaces we are passing through. Perhaps it is in this sense that we can read Michel de Certeau when he says, quote, "Footsteps weave places together. In that respect, pedestrian movements form one of these real systems whose existence, in fact, makes up the city. They are not localized. It is rather they that spatialize." End of quote. These dynamics constitute an interdependent relation between the walker and the surroundings. As much as the spaces condition movement and itineraries, walking through them charges and brings these spaces into presence. In manifesting as kinetic, acoustic, and visual phenomena, pace, rhythm, intensity, direction, and modality, walking as such does not convey meaning, but rather gives a tone to our presence. As much as we assert our presence through walking, walking speaks through us. Its rhythms reveal as much as they hide.
So is that quote by de Certeau from his practice of everyday life?
Yes.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I remember there was also a part in that book. There's even a chapter about walking, I think. And I remember that he writes about that the presence of the walk or the presence of a step is actually lost when you try to trace it on a map, for instance. So when you map a walk, you draw a route, but in the route or in the map being put together, you lost the act of that what was, like the act of the walking itself. So by tracing and recording walks, you also lose something. Something that you cannot in a way document or remember. Maybe you can remember in an embodied way, but not by trying to grasp it in a map or in a cartography. And I was also thinking about rhythms. Rhythms as an important part of your research. At some point you coined the term infrarhythm. And I was thinking, can you introduce that briefly?
Right. Yeah, infrarhythm comes from this notion of the infraordinary that was coined by French writer Georges Perec, and he kind of proposed this term as the opposite of the extraordinary. So infraordinary as something that we engage with on an everyday basis, so much that we don't notice it anymore, or not really aware of it, such as like the way we open the door, the way we drink our coffee, the way we tie our shoe, the way, you know, this type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So infrarhythm comes from that, and maybe this is really now the last part of the paragraph from the writing that is about infrarhythm comes now.
Mm-hmm.
So the rhythms of everyday walking being an infraordinary activity act as a bodily infrarhythm, an omnipresent and somehow overlooked phenomenon that nevertheless crucially contributes to our situatedness in the world, as well as to our perceiving, experiencing and making of that very same world. Infrarhythm is a pace, measure, presence and reference for any other rhythm that might be perceived, felt or enacted. As such, everyday walking is understood as a liminal, semi-conscious and semi-automatic activity in which rhythms pronounce bodily presence as a constant negotiation between the moving body and its inner being on the one hand and its social, architectural and geographical surroundings on the other.
Infrarhythm is a pace, measure, presence and reference for any other rhythm that might be perceived, felt or enacted. As such, everyday walking is understood as a liminal, semi-conscious and semi-automatic activity in which rhythms pronounce bodily presence as a constant negotiation between the moving body and its inner being on the one hand and its social, architectural and geographical surroundings on the other.
Yeah.
So maybe we can walk back slowly.
And yeah, I don't know where we are. Where are we?
I don't know either, actually. Oh, yeah, yeah. We didn't really plan the route.
So.
Okay. Actually, if... Yeah, I was thinking if someone has any questions, you can come up to us. And, I think the microphones are strong enough to also include questions from someone else in this streaming.
Reflect, maybe give something of your experience of reflecting on walking rhythms while you're walking and talking about walking and rhythms.
Yeah, so this is the second time that we do this. We were here on Monday in the park for a rehearsal, and we noticed that with every time or with every moment of practice, something new came up. So a new way to enter the conversation, or shall we go left? Okay, yeah. So we follow Alice. That's fine. Several ways to enter the conversation, and also several directions to take, both physically as mentally or conversationally. With this talk that we just did, we also made a recording through the microphones that we're wearing, but also through some external recording devices that are in our pockets. And later on, Tao will make an audio file out of it. So I'm very curious what kind of sound that we caught, also from our surroundings and literally from our walking. So maybe we have recorded our steps. Quite curious, actually.
Yeah, for me it is interesting to, like Alice, you asked about this experience of like just now, like traversing two different dimensions. So there is this one physical and bodily activity of moving your body, and then there is this reading and then thinking through this navigating through these thoughts, and somehow like one gives a shelter to the other in a very kind of particular way. And I noticed that, for example, when I give a talk or I read, or even when I used to play an instrument, there was always a problem for me to stay put, to not move my body unnecessarily and create some kind of nervous tics or whatever while performing. And like walking, it's totally different, because it does not discipline the body into stillness while actually moving through your mind. And I found that very revealing, in a sense. Yeah?
No,
I don't have my glasses.
There's a bird already. Making a nest. So in terms of walking as daily practice, how do you think we can actually practice walking in our daily life? Is this something you do actually also?
I think it's like something that we almost cannot not do, so we do it. Like if able, we do it, we have to do it.
Yeah, but we do it quite unconscious. We often go from A to B without much even being aware of where we walk.
Yeah.
So if you think of it as a practice, like we truly practice.
Yeah, I think it's the matter of attention. Like it's like putting attention to it and kind of like relating to it as, you know, as something significant that actually carries carries a lot of things and notions in it that that can present themselves to address various issues. I mean, we basically spent an hour like contemplating on what those issues could be, or how walking as this kind of activity that is being paid attention to creates entry and exit points into kind of like there was resituating the many things.
And maybe also practicing walking means questioning the very act of walking. So what you just said now about being able to walk, I've also wondered, like, is a step necessarily a part of a walk, or can you also envision walking without the step? Conceptually, I think, but maybe also in a more practical sense. Something to think about, maybe.
I mean, I think yes, it's like I mean, I cannot know from my own experience, but it's a mental state of moving through and passing by.
I think we're back. Thank you everyone for walking with us. Thank you Zoe and Tesoros and Alice. And actually we were going to do this walk with three people, with Elena Bizerna as well, but she's based in Marseille in France, and they have a serious lockdown, so she couldn't travel. But I think we would like to thank her as well.
Yes, definitely.
For all the preparations.
It was a really interesting walk. I think it was a really fascinating experience to be walking and reflect on it and hear all these different reflections and thoughts on it. I hope it was also stimulating for everybody joining us. Thank you so much.